invite you to turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 12, please. Mark chapter 12. As we continue to address this subject of giving, by way of review, we began by highlighting that giving begins with God. So giving is God's idea, not ours. God is the one who came up with this whole idea of giving. We saw that everything belongs to God, and so therefore that means I'm God's steward or God's money manager. And we talked about how that's such a great relief to us because we tend to have so much stuff, right? And if we can remember it is God's, it sure is helpful. Last time we were together, we looked at Acts chapter 20 and talked about what Jesus said there. And Paul quotes the Lord, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." Let me say that again. It is more blessed to give than to receive. No, I did not get that backwards. That's what Jesus says. And so the challenge on our hearts is, are we going to believe the Lord? Are we really going to believe that statement is true? That it is more blessed to give than to receive? Oh, I trust that you do. I trust that I will believe that to be true and truly find great blessing in the giving. Now, on this whole subject of giving, I take a step back and I approach it from the standpoint of what if this all is new? What if, say, Christianity is something new to me and to my life? What if I'm a child and I'm just growing up and this whole subject of giving, if I have an allowance that I'm given and people talk about an offering in church, well, what does that mean? What does that mean for me if I have my $2 allowance and are taking an offering in church? Well, what am I supposed to do if I'm supposed to be a giver, right? What if I'm new to Christ and new to the church and they take offerings all the time, right? It might seem like that, but these opportunities to give, and yes, I have money. The Lord's money, right, as we're learning, but I have money coming through, and how am I supposed to look at this whole thing of giving? I mean, where should I give? To whom should I give? How much am I supposed to give? And I dare say a lot of us are asking those kinds of questions. We just don't want to admit it. You know, what governs the strategy, if you will, of giving in our life as a Christian. So we're not going to exhaust that today, but that's where we're heading to kind of help equip the church, help us to be equipped to be good and healthy givers, to know how God would best guide us to do that. So we're beginning by looking at an example here in Mark chapter 12. We're looking at the end of the chapter. I'll begin reading in verse 38, Mark 12, 38. "And he said unto them in this doctrine," or in his doctrine, "Beware of the scribes which love to go in long clothing and love salutations in the marketplaces and the chief seats in the synagogues and in the uppermost rooms at feasts, which devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. These shall receive greater damnation." And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in 2 mites, which make a farthing. And he called it unto him, and he called unto him his disciples, and said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living." Now, I know what you're thinking. You're going to tell us we have to give it all, everything. Well, is that what Jesus is saying here? Is this what he's teaching? This is the beauty of Scripture and the beauty of the Spirit of God at work, right? Because the Spirit of God takes the Word of God and applies it just the way, right way to each and every heart. You know, or maybe you don't, but you need to know, God knows everything about your life and my life. And that includes our bank accounts. It includes our garages and our tool benches. Whatever it might be, God knows every aspect of it. But you know what? God knows our hearts. God knows what's deep within us. He knows how we're thinking. He knows what we're believing, what we're not believing. He knows. So in this passage, the disciples and Jesus are sitting there near the temple, what's near the place what that's called the treasury, which was a place where there were offering boxes placed along the wall of the temple every so many feet. And these were places where the people were to come and to put in their offerings for the temple work. As we read, as you saw there, there were different kinds of people coming, and different amounts of money were being placed into these offering boxes. We see that many there were that were rich, and they cast in much. So that's a statement focused on how much money was cast in. So they're rich, they cast in a lot of money. Verse 42, there came a certain poor widow. Now, there's several things here that in this day, widows, they were kind of on the low end of the economic spectrum, if you will. So they did not have much. If their children had died, they wouldn't have anybody really to take care of them. So it was a difficult life for a widow. The same is true for widows today. If you don't have children taking care of you, it would be really hard. So here she is, and she comes and she throws in 2 mites. So the text tells us the amount, which is just like pennies. So we have the rich casting in much, and the poor woman casts in just pennies. And Jesus calls his disciples, and now it's teaching time. So we're going to sit at the feet of Jesus here, and we are going to learn from him, because we just watched this too. We just watched the rich people cast in a lot, and we watched this poor woman, she just cast in these two, so we'll just call them pennies for the lack of understanding today, just 2 pennies. So now Jesus, what's he going to say? I know how I think sometimes and how we can think. More is better. The rich people, they have lots of money. They should give more, right? So I'm just acting the way sometimes we can tend to act. We can really just judge on outward appearances. And we can just say, oh, she didn't give very much. She's of not great worth to God, because she only gave just a little bit. That rich person really gave a lot. God must really appreciate them. And you know, we can go down that road. Well, what does Jesus do here? He says to his disciples, gathers them around, he says, "Verily," verse 43, "truly I say to you, that this poor widow," everybody saw her, everybody knew who she was, "that this poor widow has cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury." I can imagine the disciples are sitting there, maybe a bit bewildered, trying to process this as we think through it ourselves, right? What does Jesus really mean here? This poor widow has cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. What's Jesus focused on? He's focused on her heart. You see, we get focused on the amount, and the text, it kind of leads us that way, all right? The text leads us, as the reader, into focusing in on the amounts because it's setting us up for Jesus' teaching, for Jesus to rearrange our thinking. Because let's face it, we need a rearrangement in our thinking. We need a reorienting in the way we think. So Jesus is not focused on the amount, but he's focused on their hearts. So she cast more in than all those who cast into the treasury. Well, how is that true? Verse 44, for all they did cast in of their abundance. So those who cast in much in the amount, they were casting in because they had extras. Because they had their stash of money that took care of their living, and they had a little bit left over. And so therefore, this little leftover, they would give in their offering. And so therefore, their approach was, they were giving the leftovers to the Lord. This woman, she, verse 44, she cast in of her want, or of her lack, or of her need, did cast in all that she had, even all her living. So the rich cast in that which was left over. She is casting in all of her living. She has nothing else left. Now, to get to a point, to get to that process, what would have taken to bring her to that point? To bring her to that place of, I've got these two pennies. Why would she choose to go and give just her last two pennies and to give them into these offering boxes to help with the temple worship? What would provoke her to do that, knowing she would come home empty and have nothing? It's a faith. It's a trust in the Lord. So, how does this help us? How does this help us in our giving? Keeping in mind the principles we've already established, that God, giving begins with God. It's his idea. That everything belongs to God, and I'm his steward, his money manager. And it is more blessed to give than to receive. And now what we're seeing is God's not necessarily concerned about the amount. He's concerned about the heart. So the question then comes, what do I believe? Now the background of this giving at the temple is this. As you study through the Old Testament, you realize that God established a worship system with his people, the Jews, the Israelites. The tabernacle was established with Moses. The priesthood was established, and God established certain parameters that went along with that. And how was that system of worship supported? Through the offerings of the people. Well, this continued up through the temple, and the temple being rebuilt. And so in Jesus' day, there stood this temple that Herod had spent many years on. And their priests were still making sacrifices. And so the people were still taught and encouraged to give their offerings to support the work in the temple. The temple was the central place of worship for the Jewish people. See, it's different than us today. See, we worship the Lord, we worship God in spirit and in truth. We do not have to go to a certain place to worship God. All right? The Jewish people, under the law, were told that that God dwelt at the temple, and they would go to that central place to worship. And so therefore, when they would give to the worship of the temple, give in their offerings, that was their act of adoration and worship of God. That was to be the heart of it. They would come and give because this is what God wanted us to do, and this is how we worship God. Now, in Jesus' day, when you read through the Gospels, you understand that the religious leaders, they didn't have a heart that worshiped God. They had an outward appearance that did. They, like the verses we read prior to this passage, they liked their long robes. They liked to pray loudly in the marketplace. They liked the nice hellos from people that honored their positions. They liked all of those things. But again, what Jesus is showing and teaching us and his disciples is that it's about the heart. You see, the rich people, Jesus said, they would give of their abundance, of their leftovers. But this poor widow, she gave out of her heart of faith in God, that she was doing what pleased her God. She was, get this, following what God had said and told her to do, trusting that he would meet her needs tomorrow. Wow. What a challenge, right? What a challenge as we think about the heart of giving. Now, with that as the background, if you will, I want to just review with you two ways that we see giving in the Bible. We see free will giving, and we see compulsory or required giving. Now, lest we get ahead of ourselves and we think that we're trying to establish some new laws or requirements or restrictions, no. I want to remind us that God's word is our standard. But by reviewing these different types of giving, we will get to see how God is teaching us, his people, and how God taught his people back in the day when the original audiences received his written word, how he was teaching them about giving through these very principles. I'm going to review them somewhat quickly. We're not going to necessarily dwell on them. But free will giving. So this is just a giving of the heart. This is voluntary giving, all right? This is much of what we practice in our fellowship here. You give of the heart. There is no one standing over you saying how much you're supposed to give. That's not what we do. Listen, God does that for us, right? God is the one who provokes within us to give or to not to give or how to give or who to give. God is the one who does that. And we need to trust the Lord to do that in our life. So the free will giving, we see it first established through Abram in Genesis chapter 14. If you want to turn there, you can. In Genesis chapter 14, the name Melchizedek, some of you will recognize that as a key character both in Genesis and also in Hebrews. But the backstory is Abram goes out to rescue his nephew Lot. in the process, he brings them back, and they have a meeting of the kings. In verse 17 of Genesis 14, the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer, and of the kings that were with him at the valley of Sheba, which is the king's dale. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which has delivered thine enemies into thy hand." And he, Abram, gave him tithes of all. It's just one little statement, but we see a giving of tithes here in this passage. Now, the identity of Melchizedek is somewhat mysterious, but nevertheless, this text tells us he is the king of Salem, king of peace. He is the priest of the Most High God, and we see him as a gracious giver as he brings to Abram, after this battle, bread and wine. We see this Melchizedek blessing him, saying in verse 19, "Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which has delivered thine enemies into thy hand." And Abram's response, okay? Notice this, is that there's a response to this. Of God granted a great victory. And you can read through that if you want to in the previous passages in chapter 14. God gave him a great victory. God blessed. And then God through Melchizedek is ministering unto Abraham. And as a response to that, Abram gives back to God. How does he do that? By giving to the priest of the Most High God, to Melchizedek. And he gives him tithes. That word tithes literally means a tenth. And so he gives him tenth of all that he had, all that he had gained. And so here we see Abram is not told he has to give. In fact, there's no precedent at all in the scripture that he needs to do this. But what he does is he responds to the blessing and the goodness of God through Melchizedek, and his response is, "I'm going to give." Now we would say and understand this as he's giving this, that he's doing so out of adoration and worship for God, because he's recognizing God has truly given him great victory and blessed him immensely. So we notice and see that giving there in Genesis chapter 14 is a free will of the heart giving, a voluntary offering that's given to the Most High God that both he and Melchizedek shared. They both worshiped the Most High God. Now let's go to Exodus chapter 25. Exodus chapter 25. Now, as you're following along through the scriptures, notice we were just in Genesis, the book of beginnings. Abraham being the patriarch, the father of the Hebrew people. There was no tabernacle, there was no temple. And Exodus is when the tabernacle is established and Moses is leading God's people. They are rescued by God from Egypt. And traveling through the wilderness, they receive the law at Mount Sinai. In Exodus chapter 25, verse 1, we read, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering. Of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, you shall take my offering." Key word in there, isn't there? Willingly. Now, whose idea was it to take the offering? God's idea. God's idea to take the offering. But God gave this instruction, parameter. Do it willing. Those who are willing to do it have a heart to say, I'm going to do this of my own accord. Take that offering. This offering, as you can read later, is to provide the necessary supplies to construct the tabernacle. The tabernacle was something God wanted that he might dwell amongst his people. God told them what was needed and asked the people to meet this need. I love how God, in this passage, says willingly. In Exodus 35, just a few pages, verses 21 and 22, we read this. Exodus 35, verses 21 and 22. And they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit made willing. And they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation, and for all his service, and for the holy garments. And they came, both men and women, as many as were willing-hearted, and brought bracelets and earrings and rings and tablets, all jewels of gold, and every man that offered an offering of gold unto the Lord. Again, see that word willing, willing-hearted. A free will offering demonstrated here in the book of Exodus as the tabernacle was being established. How was this to be provided for? God asked his people to give, but he said, you give of the heart. You give willingly. We see this similar type thing happen with the building of the temple. Go to 1 Chronicles chapter 29. You know, it's just fun to do this. I hope you find it interesting, because you may be very familiar with giving. This might be something that you've already established in your heart and your life. That is great. But it's just great to be refreshed on what the Bible teaches about giving. 1 Chronicles 29, chapter 29. So 1 Chronicles chapter 29, and let's pick up verse 6. Then the chief of the fathers and princes of the tribes of Israel, and the captains of thousands, of hundreds, with the rulers of the king's work, offered willingly, and gave for the service of the house of God of gold 5,000 talents and 10,000 drams, and of silver 10,000 talents, and of brass 18,000 talents, and of 100,000 talents of iron. And they with whom precious stones were found gave them to the treasure of the house of the Lord by the hand of Jael the Gershonite. Then the people rejoiced for that they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. All right, here's something interesting. You see giving willingly associated with what? Joy. I'm glad you caught that. Great joy. I mean, it's almost like I was stuttering. I kept repeating these words, willingly, joy, right? And you're seeing these things together. Well, why is it that these people are so full of joy? They are given the privilege and opportunity to give to the Lord's work. They're doing what God has asked them to do. And there is great joy in that, as they, of the heart, give. They're blessed, as Jesus said, right? It is more blessed to give than to receive. And you can continue on. You can see that those who had, they gave. They give to the Lord freely, and it's liberating. We notice that in this passage that David prays and recognizes that joyous privilege he and the people have to give. They're giving back what already is the Lord's, right? See, that's why these principles are so helpful. They're giving back what already really belongs to the Lord. And they're just excited to be a part of that process. I hope you've had had an opportunity to be a part of that process at some point in your life, where God has given an opportunity laid out before you to give, and you do. And it's just exciting to watch what God does with that gift and watch it multiply. You know, we can get so down in the dumps because we see what we no longer have, right? It's no longer here. But instead, what God wants us to do is to see now what God has and see what God gives us as blessing. You see, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So there's free will giving, but there's also compulsory giving, and this is the one that bugs people. I mean, I've talked with people, and I know that you have too. Churches, all they do is talk about giving. They take offering after offering, and they get frustrated, and sometimes it's reason for them to leave the church because they just have had enough. I will tell you that churches can be overbearing about it, and I believe they can have it wrong, this whole concept of giving. But nevertheless, there were required by God some offerings that he had for his people. And you might ask, well, why would God do that? Especially after we look at the free will offerings. Why couldn't God just do that? Why couldn't he just have his people always just give in this free will offering way? I don't have the full answer to that, but I think we'll have some further clarity as we move along here. So we have giving of the heart. The need presents an opportunity. So you have the joy of giving. So now you have the giving of the law. Let's look at these. First, we look at the tabernacle tithe. This is where the people were required to give a tenth of their increase to the Levites to care for them since they did not have an inheritance in the land. All right, so there's a tabernacle tithe, Numbers chapter 18. And I like us to turn to these passages just so you can see that I'm not making these things up. Numbers chapter 18, verse 20. We'll start at verse 20. Numbers 18, 20. And the Lord spake unto Aaron, thou shalt have no inheritance in their land, neither shalt thou have any part among them. I am thy part and thine inheritance among the children of Israel. And behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tenth in Israel for an inheritance, for their service which they serve, even the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. Look at verse 26. Thus speak unto the Levites, and say unto them, when you take of the children of Israel the tithes which I have given you from them for your inheritance, then you shall offer up a heave offering of it for the Lord, even a tenth part of the tithe. So what are we seeing here? We're seeing that God is taking care of ministers. God's taking care of his people as they serve right there in the tabernacle. So there is a tenth that is to be given to that ministry. And what is interesting, too, is that the ministers, when they receive that tithe in, they themselves are also to tithe of that. And so ministers are not exempt from giving. That's an important point. Ministers are not exempt from it. There's also an agricultural tithe. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 14. And again, these are all Old Testament with the people of Israel in the law. Yes, I realize that. But I, again, believe God has these in his word to teach us, to help us. Deuteronomy 14. Verse 22, Thou shalt truly tithe all the increase of thy seed, and all that the field brings forth year by year. And you shall eat before the Lord your God in the place which he shall choose to place his name there. The tithe of your corn, of thy wine, and of thine oil, and the firstlings of thy herds and of thy flocks, that thou mayest learn to fear the Lord thy God always. And if the way be too long for thee, so that thou art not able to carry it, or if the place be too far from thee, which the Lord thy God shall choose to set his name there, when the Lord thy God hath blessed thee, then shalt thou turn it into money, and bind up the money in thine hand, and shalt go unto the place which the Lord thy God shall choose. And thou shalt bestow that money for whatsoever thy soul lusteth after, for oxen, for sheep, for wine, or strong drink, or for whatsoever thy soul desires. And thou shalt eat there before the Lord thy God, and thou shalt rejoice, thou and thine household. And the Levite that is within thy gates, thou shalt not forsake him, for he hath no part nor inheritance with thee. Interesting, isn't it? This agricultural tithe. This was used to pay for great feasting that you and your family would enjoy in or near the place where the Lord chooses to set his name. That would have been Jerusalem. That would have been the place, right, place established. This was to help the people to learn to fear the Lord their God always. This was rejoicing over God's provision. It was a memorial. This would have caused each household to spend some time in Jerusalem rejoicing over God's blessings. And then the poor tithe. Continuing in Deuteronomy 14, we pick up verse 28. At the end of 3 years, thou shalt bring forth all the tithe of thine increase the same year, and shalt lay it up within thy gates. And the Levites, because he hath no part nor inheritance with thee, and the stranger, and the fatherless, and the widow, which are within thy gates, shall come, and shall eat, and be satisfied, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all the work of thine hand which thou doest. So every third year, the people were to tithe of the increase from that year, and store it up for the Levites, the strangers, the orphans, and the widows that dwelt in your city. Now that was nice, isn't it? That you know that there was a storehouse if you were widowed, that you could go in your city and you knew that people had given to that and that would help to meet your need. If you were an orphan, didn't have parents, you knew there was provisions for you. So these different offerings were instructed by the Lord in the law. The people were to do this. Why? Well, you look at it, and it's part of the structure and the plan that God had to care for his people. You remember now, during this time, they did not have any king. Who was their king? God was. God was the ruler over them. So therefore, God established how things would go. And God knew what was best for his people. And so he made sure that there was a worship system and opportunities for people to give freely of the heart. But he also understood that there needed to be a structure so that the worship system would remain intact, and that the people ministering there, their needs would be met. Because the Levites did not have their own land, or they didn't have their own places throughout Israel. They were assigned certain places and smaller plots. And so God met the minister's needs. God provided for the people opportunities to celebrate and worship. Through the agricultural tithe, celebrate in worship over God's provision. And God provided to comfort the needy of his people. So, what do we learn from this? How does this help us? Well, I think we understand pretty well that the free will offering of the heart is it builds within us an opportunity to worship the Lord. It helps us really understand that there is great joy in giving. And it helps us to look for those opportunities and pay attention to the opportunities that God puts before us to give. These compulsory required giving that was for God's people, the Israelites, what do they teach us? Well, they teach us, first of all, the importance of supporting the work of God. God established that with his people. And you see throughout the New Testament, even in Paul's epistles, there is strong exhortation to care for the ministers that are among you. So God established that in the beginning as an example through his people. And then as the church then comes on the scene in the book of Acts, there is then examples that the church can follow, not that they are required or there's some compulsory giving that there's some sort of law that says you have to do this. But you have the structure that God established in the Old Testament as an example that you might know how to go about supporting the work of the ministry. God in his structure also established that agricultural tithe so that God's people would have the means to truly worship and praise God for his provisions. You know, the temptation would be to take that tenth away and use it to increase your flocks or do whatever. But instead, God says, no, I want you to hold on to that and use it for times of celebration and worship for me. God wanted his people to set aside those finances so that they could worship the Lord together. And then that poor tithe, I think we understand that. That's an example of how God cares for the strangers, those who are not from around here or are new to our community, our midst. The orphans, those who do not have a mom and a dad to care for them. The widows. God cares about them. And you see that in the scriptures. God cares about those folks. And God instructs his people in the Old Testament to care for them. And in the New Testament, he also emphasizes the importance of caring for the orphans and the widows. So as we look at this, we don't walk away with this added burden of, oh man, now I've got to give. Come on, really? Right? Is that really what God is doing here? Is that really the way we are to look at this? Oh, this is another thing to do. No, I think you get it. I think you realize that what God has done throughout the body of the scriptures and through the history that is proclaimed in there, he's established examples. He's shown us what he values, how he set things up with his people. That shows us priorities, the very heart and priorities of God. And so we, as God's money managers, as realizing that everything belongs to him, we can join together with God's priorities and give and experience the joy of doing so freely as we obey and believe what Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So what we've done today is just taken these examples and looked at them and asked the question, how can they help me to be a giver that is honoring to my Lord and to my Savior? I want you to ask yourselves a couple questions as we wrap our time up. What's the difference in my reaction to compulsory giving and free will giving? Do you have a different reaction? Have you thought through that? How important is giving to my God? How do I know this? How has God given to me? You see, giving of the heart. You see a need, and therefore I can meet that need. there's joy in giving. The giving of the law, I'm God's chosen people, therefore I must live according to His ways. That's the guide for giving. We have the why, because there are needs and we can give, and there's great blessing and joy. We have the how, because we got to see God's example, how He did it with His own people. And we can learn from that. And also, as we'll get more further in our study, we'll learn from how the New Testament writers add new light to this important topic of giving. So Lord, thank You for teaching us today. Thank You for the blessing of having Your word so that we may understand it and know how to live in a way that's pleasing to You. We are honored to have the word in our language, Your word. And we are honored and blessed to have heard it today. In Jesus' name, amen.